Cool. But we've got a miracle here. We've got a wonderful lady all the way from Forbes with us in the studio. It's Kathy McClendon. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Margaret. How are you?
Oh, look, I'm good, thanks. All bright and cheery. I'm actually quite enjoying the slightly cooler weather. So
it's rather chilly this morning.
Yeah, it was. It was indeed. But we don't want to rush into summer too quickly.
No.
Especially not if you're on the land, because summer brings its own anxieties, I think. If you're a farmer in this region, one of the things I used to see summer as a time when I'd be facing up to final exams, but now it's thinking, oh, have I got the flies managed in the sheep? And
yeah.
And what about the you know, the worm burdens and things like that, which change after rain and things like that. So, Kathy, you're our new rural financial counsellor based in Armidale.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I operate out of an office in Hannah Arcade. I've been up here, and you are right, I transferred up from Forbes, where I was a rural financial counsellor down there. So I've been up here for, I don't know, about a year and a few months now.
Well, welcome to the high country.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's been a wonderful experience. You know, totally different from what I'm used to, sheep and grain. So as always, since I've started in this role, it's a steep learning curve, and the farmers are a fantastic resource, and I learn so much from them. And, you know, the likes of the local LLS.
Yeah, that's the local land service for those people that are out there that are not agri.
Yeah, and the local land,
I think you mean land care?
Land care.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, Landcare, absolutely fantastic organisation.
They are. We call them SNILC, Southern New England SNILC. Landcare.
Yeah. So I have a very close working relationship with those girls.
Wonderful.
And it's fantastic.
Yeah, they're great. They're really terrific. So many community projects that they get cracking with. So, Kathy, what's your background? Are you from a rural background yourself?
No, I'm not actually. I'm actually an accountant by trade. So
right.
I have an accounting auditing background. So, you know, this has been a fantastic opportunity for me because it's such an amazing group of people that I work with. And it's definitely a two-way street. So, you know, when I have a client come in, you know, they offer so much. So they teach me and I teach them. I often say to them, you know, I can walk you through your financials. You know, I can tell you all about that, but I won't tell you, you know, what cattle to put on your farm, or, you know, what crop you should be growing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where, for me personally, somewhere like SNELL has been fantastic, because I have gone to so many events and have learnt so many things, you know. So, yeah, I mean, part of our role is to not tell farmers what to do, but, you know, to have a network where we can say, look, have you thought about this? You know, look, there was a great event on, you know, follow up. You can follow up here, you know. So, yeah, we all work in together, which is lovely.
So, Kathy, it's called the Rural Financial Counselling Service, and this division is New South Wales Northern Region. And it's run by the Australian government. And what does it offer, and who uses the service?
Okay, so it's a Rural Financial Counselling Service, New South Wales Northern Region, commonly known as the RFCS. So it's an Australian government initiative. So we're actually not run by the government. We're actually funded by state and federal governments. And we are administered by the Department of Agriculture.
Right.
So we offer free independent financial counselling to eligible rural enterprises facing financial hardship. So you know, it's either experiencing or at risk of experiencing financial hardship. So right. this is an important point, you know, if our farmers out there are concerned about their you know, decreasing profit or unsure in decision making, they can approach the service and we can help them. So you don't have to be against the back wall. You know, it's so much better if you come earlier,
right?
You know, and work with us. So you know, we can help by offering a case management framework,
right? Because farming can be quite lonely in a way. I mean, you've got all your neighbours around you, but everybody's running their own business, and you know, you go to the sale yards, I can speak from experience a bit here, and it's a little bit competitive. You know, people are watching your cattle, you're watching what your prices are. So, and especially when the seasons start to go against you or life circumstances go against you, it can be quite lonely, knowing how much to divulge, who to go to help for, who to ask advice from. And I mean, not everybody has got your interests at heart, especially if it's neighbours, because often neighbours are looking over the fence and going, wouldn't mind that place, you know, but only at the right price, sort of thing. So there's a lot of sort of social pressures involved in farming. It's often talked about during drought, I think, when people are facing, especially people who've inherited land and they feel a big burden to carry on and do well. But it's not necessarily something where there's advice and discretion, I suppose, readily at hand.
Yeah. So, you know, that's where our service can really help. And, you know, I think personally, you know, the isolation factor is a negative part of farming. You know, if you work in an office, you know, you can often come in and, you know, you've got your mates with you. You might even, you know, go for drinks, you know, whatever, but you've got that support. So it's very important that, you know, farmers do reach out. And part of our role is to establish a good referral network. As soon as you get to a town, you really need to work out, you know, where you can send people to. You know, I've been faced, like, right at the very beginning, where I had a farmer come in and I was actually covering an office that I wasn't familiar with, and this is down south, and this farmer broke down and I didn't know the services around to send this farmer to.
Yep.
So I make it a point, I vowed never to be in that situation again, you know, because it's not you know, you don't want to just have a pat on the back, you know. You need to be able to talk to somebody, and we're rural financial counsellors, so you know, firstly, we're not allowed to do any other kind of counselling, but we don't, because we're not specialists in that area.
You're there to soothe and smooth the balance sheets and
absolutely
and the profit and loss papers. So look, who is so you help, what does it mean when you say case management framework?
Okay, well, we have got a case management document within our system that's been developed internally by our team leader. So it's an amazing document. So it takes you right through, as a counsellor, it's really easy to follow, and it means when somebody comes in, because often when you get a new client, you know, you get everything. So, and that's okay. But what we need to do is, like, you know, go through all that information, dissect that information, and take out what we need. So, by following our case management document, we put all the details in to produce a financial statement. So, you know, that's an important document that tells you, you know, that looks at your assets and your liabilities, and it gives you your equity in the property, you know. So often when farmers are, you know, they know, like, they're doing it hard, you know, that financial statement of position can be really good, because, you know, they can look at it and go, oh, wow, you know, like, we're actually, you know, in a better position than what we thought we were.
Yeah.
You know, and it's an easy thing
to do. Yeah.
And to guide, you know. So from there you work into your analysis of analysing 5 years back. This is all in our case management document.
Right.
So, you know, we put the financials in there.
Yep.
They're reliable. You know, they're factual.
Mm.
And from there, we can assess and we can produce ratios and we can produce graphs, averages. Yeah, it just...
Things to really... Tools that will really give a person who's sort of... possibly struggling in the day-to-day burden of not only caring for animals or crops or things like that, but also their relationships with their bank if they've got a mortgage, or their suppliers and debtors, their employees.
Oh, it's, absolutely.
There's a lot of human stuff that and animal stuff that runs alongside the financial management.
Absolutely. And, you know, like, it gives people confidence.
Mm.
You know, like, knowledge is power.
Yep.
So, you know, it gives them confidence to believe that they can actually be better at their financials, you know, because they probably feel like a majority feel more comfortable out in the paddock.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is... running a business as well, and that's where I really like to we really like to come in and go, you know, look, we can help you, we can strengthen that, you know.
That's great. Now, if you wanted what are the eligibility criteria for getting this help, because it's an amazing service. If it's actually free, there's not much in the world that's free. Yeah, but you need to be eligible, so I presume you need to be a primary producer.
Absolutely, or a small related business.
Right.
You need to be experiencing or at risk of financial hardship, as I mentioned earlier. You know, it's a big important thing. At risk, if you're worried about anything, come in and talk to us. And you have to contribute a significant part of your labour and capital to the enterprise.
Right.
And your enterprise must have a significant commercial purpose or character.
Right, so somebody who's just got a few sheep in the back paddock to keep the grass down would not qualify.
No, hobby farms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got to have commercial purpose.
Yeah, there's a good reason for that, I imagine, because you know, this is part of the really critical part of underpinning skills, and I suppose underpinning better skills in the agricultural sector. You know,
and it's about making businesses, farm enterprises, more resilient. You know.
So look, Kathy, when you see somebody walk in, you've got, and you can, they've qualified, and you can tell that they're under stress. You've got this thing called the three S's. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, the three S's: success, succession, or sell. They're basically our objectives, you know, of where we want to guide our clients. So, you know, we achieve this by firstly transition clients out of financial crisis.
Mm.
So we address the client's immediate financial concerns and then transition the client to support a holistic assessment of their longer term goals. So we're looking at the big picture.
Right.
We just don't look at the financials. Secondly, we improve a client's profitability or facilitate a dignified exit from the business.
Mm.
So this is where we categorise like success. The client is now on a trajectory of improving business profitability and viability.
Yep.
Or succession. The client is now making arrangements for passing the business on to a successor.
Mm.
Or sell. Is it best can we assist a dignified exit from the business? So, and thirdly, to improve clients' financial well-being and resilience. So this is the ultimate outcome, regardless of whether the client is supported with success, succession, or sell. The client is in a better financial position, more financially capable, and have strategies in place to be resilient to shocks that affect their financial position in the future, both from a business and personal perspective. We like to think of ourselves as a catalyst of change.
Yeah, fantastic. It's quite hard because there's many different ways that people come into farming businesses. Sometimes they're dragged in by, you know, family members, and it's not necessarily something they've always wanted to do. So personal circumstances can sometimes, you know, restrict people's choices. Not everybody who is in the position of managing a farm or running a farm or owning a farm is somebody who's been to ag school. So, and a lot I've seen over the years, there's many farmers who actually would probably like to put part of their lifetime towards doing something completely different. But how to get out can often be, and the pressures of having inherited or having, you know, just been given a responsibility for something that's got so much emotional significance as the family farm. It's not just a business.
No, that's exactly right. And that's where that holistic approach needs to be taken on board. So, and you're right, you know, there are some people that really struggle under the weight of, you know, family expectations and you know, and that in that inside drive to say I've got to succeed, you know, I've got to pass it on, and you know, and if it's not really what they want to do, it's very difficult. It is very hard.
I think it's probably very difficult for some people to even think I could be free of this, you know, if because it, I mean, it's such a it's an iconic Australian thing, isn't it, to own a bit of, you know, to be a farmer, and if you've come from that sort of family background, wow, it's a big emotional journey, I imagine.
Definitely.
So you've got a thing called ratio analyses. What are these, Kathy, or ratio analysis?
Okay, that goes back to our case management document.
Right.
So, as we're we enter all the information, the financial information, and so we can calculate key ratios for, you know, for example, like return on assets, return on equity, debt to income, and equity positions, which you know, most farmers are really interested in.
That's actually how much they own as against how much the bank does.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So by examining the last 5 years' financial statements along with the ratio analysis, we compare the results with key benchmarking data. So we break down your data to produce a comprehensive trading averages worksheet, and we graph your results for easier interpretation and discussion. So we also assist you in completing a livestock schedule. So this schedule is over a three-year cycle and follows livestock through the entity from birth to breeding unit or sale. So recording changes along the way to the balance sheet via the value of the livestock, and changes to profit and loss by recording sales. So it's a really good visualization tool, can assist you greatly in decision making, and, you know, any decisions that you do make, how it may reflect on your profitability.
It reminds me of a time many years ago when, you know, I was kind of really doing it hard, I thought, because there wasn't much money, you know, the cash flow was really low. And then I spoke to the accountant who was down in Sydney, and he said, oh, don't worry about that. He said, I know what your husband's doing. All the money's in the back paddock. He hasn't sold anything for, you know. And he was, obviously, he was trying to build up our livestock asset and not sell, and well, that was great, except that there wasn't, you know, I was doing it quite hard trying to you know, manage the family finances at the same time. So sometimes it can be kind of happy, you know, you can, it can feel bad when it really isn't that bad.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm. And, you know, when you look at cash flows, or like if you're building your herd and, you know, you can see through your livestock schedule, it's all these financial tools that can help you build the picture long term, not just, you know, oh, I don't have much money in the bank, you know. And you've got to look at the big picture, and you do have to project.
I remember after our first wool thing, which was a long time ago now, and I was sort of, I'd moved from Sydney and I had sort of very little idea of kind of how it all worked in the country, but I knew one thing: I wanted a new lounge, and we had a wool check, and so I just basically went on strike until we got a new this new furniture that I wanted, and I never heard the end of it for about 6 months. My husband was going on about wasting money on furniture, but anyway, look, I was glad I did, because we're still using that lounge. But but I think this is something that the whole, like, the skills that you're helping people with would really help. Well, in my case, I was pretty naive to rural matters back then, and all I knew is I had to get in while the money was in the bank.
Yeah.
there was anything that I wanted, but for the home. And I suppose that seems to, well, anyway, understanding the whole picture, I guess, is something that would probably aid marital harmony as well in a family farm situation.
Absolutely. And, you know, open communication.
Yeah.
And you can't say enough about that. And, you know, often you might find one part of the partnership comes in, and that's okay, you know, for us to work with one partner.
Mm.
But I always encourage and like to say, like, go home and talk to, you know, your partner, and especially, you know, when we can see that there is something positive, like it's not all just doom and gloom, you know, like it might be hard now, but, you know, if we can project into the future, you know, and that might be like 6 months, you know, and things, you know, could turn around, and you know, that's where we like to be, like catalyst of change. Like, you know, the past might be bad, it's important that we look, you know, or the past might be hard, but on the same hand, we have to look forward as well, because as you know, you're a farmer, you know, it's all cyclical.
And look, it can be such an exciting thing too. I mean, if you've only got to look at some of the stories that they play on Landline, where people have made changes and they've done intergenerational kind of projects to set up the next family or the next generation with, you know, a new direction, and, you know, extraordinary innovation in Australia, the Australian, there always has been, I think, but understanding the fundamentals of how a farming or an agricultural business works, it really sets up all of the generations for sort of having the freedom to have these sort of creative discussions, I think, about their future.
Excellent. And, you know, I think on the whole, farmers generally undersell themselves. You know, they sell themselves short, because they come in and, you know, they might not have, you know, the profit and loss or the balance sheet or, you know, how it all works all together. But they are amazing, the skill sets that they bring in. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to go on farms, and it's like talking to an engineer. You know, some of the things that they devise, you know, and it's just them on the farm doing it. It's amazing.
I remember when we first moved up here, how amazed I was that people were actually having to manage, you know, very local conditions, a sort of deep understanding of the climate and how that might change from year to year. I mean, we came here in 98, I think, and then by 2000 there was a massive drought, really, that went for 2 years, and there were smart people, you know, their grandfathers, who said, oh, we're not joining this year because there won't be enough, and they were right. But I mean, that's a kind of intuitive understanding of, but at the same time, those people were actually also having to deal with global market prices and demand, and you know, like from the absolutely local to global climate as well, and also market indicators. And I thought, wow, these are not dumb farmers. These people are extremely clever.
Yeah, they are. And it's a very hard game to be into. And, you know, because you do, you have internal factors and external factors, you know, that are directly affect what you get in your hip pocket.
That's right. And I still remember explaining to my children when they were little about some of their friends who were in family farming situations. And I said, well, you know, how do you think it would go with our family if your uncle down in Sydney, you know, doing a completely separate job, but I said if Uncle Tim or whatever was trying to work with Dad to decide where the sheep would go next, and my kids just groaned and said, it'd never work, Mum. And I said, well, it wouldn't. But I said, that's what, you know, your friends, families, they have to get on in a way that, you know, we don't. Because we were from the city at that point, you know.
Yeah, it's not a 9-to-5 and then turn off job.
That's right. And it involves family politics and all the rest of it.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Kathy, what are the... you also look at helping people deal with risk management?
Yes, we do, yeah. I just wanted to add, our case management, we also do, and I know I've mentioned it before, the 5-year historical review, which is very, very important. So, because it gives you a starting point when you want to do your budgeting.
Right.
It allows you for your cash flow. So it gives you something positive or something that you can actually catch, put your hat on. So, you know, it gives your cash flow reliability. And it's a great thinking tool, because by analysing your past data, you might think of a strategy for the future that you may have missed, which comes into risk management as well.
Right.
So, and one of the most important documents that I think that we can actually produce is a business plan.
Right.
So, that sits within our case management document, and it pulls all facets of the business together. So we ask our farmers to complete the history of the farm, the skills, experience and educational qualifications that they bring to the table.
Right.
We assist our farmers to complete a vision and a mission statement, and we assist them to set goals and objectives, to complete SWOT analysis.
Wow.
So that's what we were talking about before, the internal... analysis, are their strengths and weaknesses, and external, any opportunities and threats to the business. So, so we pull in all the financial analysis, the livestock programs, the financial position, the cash flow projections, then produce a forecast summary. So, you know, and I think it's really important to also mention about planning tools that that we like, you know, to think that our farmers will learn while they're going through our program with us, but also take with them. So, you know, like the break-even point. You know, we can assist a client to set up their own break-even analysis, which is so important when you're looking at, should I do this or should I do that? Decision-making.
Yeah.
Gross margin analysis is exactly the same as that too.
Yeah.
You know, how's it going to affect my gross margin if I do this? Our cash flow projections, they're created for a 3-year forecast and planning period. So we encourage and enable clients to set up their own cash flow and budgeting tools. So, you know, they're vital. So comparing actual to budgeted figures is an important tool. And, you know, you'll be able to see, like, am I on the page budgeting, or, you know, am I way off? The other important thing here is too to highlight any variances between your budgeting and your actuals and record them. So you're creating so much historical data that can assist you in decision making, but also vitally important if you need to go to the bank. You know, if you can go to the bank and you can show the banker, look what I've been doing, you know, here's my cash flow, here's my actual versus my budget, you know, and here's a whole heap of notes, you know, and I've actually worked these notes into my risk management plan as well, because I know, you know, that, you know, maybe that season didn't work out well.
Yeah.
So they, and I know why. You know, so it's in my it's in my budget, but it's also in my risk management plan. So, you know, I can address that, and then I can show the banker, you know, you can rely on me. I'm running the business. I'm in control. I know, you know, I know what I'm doing. Sometimes things work out, you know, but there are unexpected things in farming as well. But knowledge is power, you know, and cash flow is king. You really need to, you know, balance, you need to balance the whole picture. So, you know, you do have your equity, you know, most farms, that's great, you know, but you also need to actually run the actual business, you know, that's in front of you, what you're doing.
I think it's an amazing service, Kathy, and I must say that it's so much more than kind of rescuing farmers out of the deep end at the end of a drought, isn't it?
Absolutely. Or, you know, just helping them fill out applications for concessional loans or grants, you know, which we do, gratefully. That's no problems at all, you know, but, yeah, our service is so much more. That's just the tip of the iceberg. You know, we can... we really want to affect change.
Yeah, so your underlying sort of agenda through the Department of Agriculture, I suppose, is to, to build these skills into as many farmers that want them.
Really? Oh, absolutely. Right. So, you know, to make farms more resilient, more resilient to shocks and to, you know, which can include the environmental disasters, which, you know, are there in everybody's face. So
yeah, I mean, we just hear about them every week, don't we? But, I mean, we've, like, well, the flooding in the dairy industry on the coast, for example, that's
horrendous.
That your colleagues over there on the coast must be really a bit flat out at the moment, I imagine.
They are. They're absolutely flat out, much in demand. And
but it was, it's interesting, though. I heard a women's dairy conference interviewed on the Country Hour, I think, which is the midday news program, and some of those women were saying, "Oh no, it's all right. You know, we've got a small, we've got a fodder crop coming up now. We've actually managed to get some of our dairy girls back on grass, and you know, and innovations. Some people are building sheds to kind of keep their grass cleaner, and they're actually moving through crisis into sort of innovation, into a kind of confident future."
Yeah, that's that's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add too that you know, yeah, with our risk management and all the financial tools that we've been talking about, it's never a set and forget. So you know, it's a live document. So you know, another service that we add, like, you know, we can assist clients with setting up templates that work for them.
Right.
And even a schedule, you know, like to say when you should actually be looking at, you know, your cash flow on a monthly basis, you know, or your budgeting. You want to do that quarterly or, you know, biannually or, you know, and your business plan and your risk management plan, you know, maybe annually, you know, but... yeah, it's so important that the skills that we give and that we put time in and are proud of too, our clients take them away and they keep doing it, you know.
And I imagine, I suppose I keep going back to the kind of family thing, but if you've got a rural financial counsellor who's sort of impartial, who's not dad, who isn't granddad, who isn't sort of, you know, someone who maybe is resented by other members of the family, but somebody who's just out there objective saying, well, you know, let's do this together, it must make take a whole lot of the emotional kind of out of it.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah, and it's, you know, in a lot of ways, like sitting from my side of the desk, mm. I don't have the emotional connection, you know. Mm. I certainly do feel it, you know,
yeah,
coming from the other side of the table. But
it'd be interesting to be a fly on the wall of your office some days, I imagine, Kathy.
Yes, yeah. It can be a bit tricky sometimes. Mm. But, you know, I kind of approach it like I'm looking after the business. So, you know, and it's kind of like it helps me to do my job because I'm looking after this actual thing here. You know, it's not mine.
No, I
don't ever cross that line. It's not mine, but, you know, this is where I focus on and consider everybody else that's around the table and factors, you know, but it comes back to the end, at the end of the day, like my main concern is, you know, like what's going to happen with the business, you know. I don't tell people what to do. We offer options, you know. Under no circumstance do we ever say you should do this or you should do that, you know.
Yeah.
We offer options, which is really good because then we can say, like I think I say subconsciously, how are we going to look after this, you know, this business? How's the best thing,
you
know, that we're going to do to look after this business? And from there, it's pretty easy to, like, offer your options and then, you know, be able to discuss them and, you know, but it's really good. There's no big sticks.
No, that's great. And that's really important because I think some people think that they're going to be told, you know, that they must do X or Y and then that... But that's just absolutely not the case.
No, no. Yeah, and it's, you know, that some people do come and you can tell, you know, they are concerned and, you know, they do feel, I suppose, to a degree like a failure, you know, which is definitely not the case because, you know, it takes so many more skills. I couldn't run a farm. I couldn't go out there and do what they do, you know, which... I'm very, very aware of that. And, you know, their skill sets amaze me. They bring so much to the table, so much.
Amazing. And look, where would Australia be without them? It's just been so lovely talking with you, Kathy. Thank you so much for coming in. Is there anything that you burningly need to say?
Yes, there is.
Okay, well.
I would just like to finish up with saying that this work is never done alone. Mm. We have a strong, supportive management team and an incredible group of counsellors, each bringing a unique skill set to the table. So when you come to see me, you see all the other counsellors as well because we all work together.
Oh, okay.
So if I'm not sure about something, you know, it's out there.
Fantastic.
And, you know, and that's, because...
Yeah, it is amazing.
It's so collaborative. So together we help strengthen our rural communities through teamwork, compassion and dedication. And I'm proud to be part of something that truly makes a difference. So I'm
fabulous.
Rural Financial Counselling, New South Wales, Northern Region. I'm happy.
Kathy's giving the thumbs up. And Kathy, I think probably we ought to say that it's all conducted in strict confidentiality as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We are governed under our client service agreement.
Right.
Yeah, and nothing leaves the office.
Yep. Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Kathy. And look, welcome to the New England. Welcome to the Northern Tablelands. And I know you've got a little bit of a bushwalking hobby there as well. And long may you enjoy our gorges and high country.
Yeah, I've done some fantastic. Recently I went to Apsley Falls and Tia Falls and they were pumping.
Yeah, our waterfalls are really having a great time at the moment. So, and I that's another thing I didn't realise until somebody, a friend, stopped me at a service station and she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Nothing much." And she said, "Well, come with us because we just had a big rainfall." And she was a photographer and she said, we're going out to the falls. Come on." And I went home, got my daughter, and we had the most gorgeous day. But I didn't even realise that because of the rain the previous week, the falls would be pumping.
Yeah. Oh, they're mind-blowing.
Yeah.
You could stand in front of them and lose yourself. They're absolutely beautiful.
I know. I've done that. I just stare down in that water and It's equivalent but totally different to being at the beach and watching the waves roll in. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much, Kathy. We'll just play a bit of music. Thank you so much, and we'll stay in touch with you.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you.